So I want to talk with you about a miracle today. And yes, I know we did the series on miracles in January. I want to talk with you about a miracle that can change your life forever. And this miracle is available to everyone, if only we ask. So now I've got your attention. Let me take you to the story that I want to use from God's Word to speak about this miracle. This story comes from the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke, the third Gospel. And I'm going to go to chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 36 to 50 with you, but I'm just going to read them little by little, not all at the same time. And our first reading is from verse 36 to 39. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood beside him, so remember, they were reclining, so she could stand beside him at his feet, because they're lying this way at the feet. Behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Let's just stop there for a second. So there's a lot going on just in this little piece, but in the whole story. So let me give you a little bit of background information and some cultural information just to fill in the gaps so the story makes a lot more sense. So the story starts off by telling us that Jesus was invited for dinner at the house of a Pharisee, and later we learn that his name is Simon. Now, if we read the story carefully, you can see that it's not a friend inviting a friend for a nice, friendly friend's meal. It was one of those Pharisees inviting Jesus to see if they could trick them meals. You can see the tension and feel the tension throughout the story. And I'll show you that when we get to verse 44 and a little later. Even when Jesus comes, they don't do what the host always would do. They would wash their feet, they would give them a welcome kiss, and they would put perfume on them or a little oil on them as a way to say, "Welcome, I'm glad that you're here." That doesn't happen. The next little bit that I need to tell you is that many of these meals were an open meal. So let me explain what I mean with open, because it's open in a sense that it's on the outside, because they would often set the tables in the courtyard, which was open. It gave a little more space for people to recline as they were lying there on their sides eating. But open in the sense that they specifically held it there so that other people could come in and observe them as they were eating and listen to the conversation. And yes, I know you're saying, "Are you nuts? Did you lose it?" No, that's what happened. Different world, different culture. Imagine you're sitting on the patio with your wife and someone pulls up the chair and says, "Go on, you just have your meal. I'm just listening to your conversation." Yeah, right. That's going to happen. That's what happened. They wanted people to come and listen, because then they could boast and they could tell of all the good things that they were doing, and people could see how well off they were. So when this woman then walks into this meal, it's not all that strange, except for the fact that it's a woman alone. But what does catch our attention, though, is the words that Simon says about her, and that she's a woman with a reputation, a sinner, which, if you ask the scholars and you look at some of the translations, they got it right, actually means she was a prostitute and known as a prostitute. So she walks in. A broken woman, shunned, judged. Can you imagine the courage that it took? But she breaks all the rules, prepared to deal with the consequences just to be able to get to Jesus. And when she gets to Jesus, She stands there behind him, and then the floodgates just open, and the tears just start streaming, and she cries her heart out, and those tears fall on Jesus' feet, and without thinking, she loosens her hair, and she dries his feet, kisses his feet, and puts perfume on his feet. That which the host should have done. And again, I said, we'll get to that a little later. And which he didn't do. Now, if ever there was an awkward moment, I think this was one of those. I think there was this silence because everyone was just picking their jaw up the floor. What just happened? And then the Bible gives us a little insight into this conversation that Simon is having with himself in his mind. And he's thinking, who does this woman think she is to walk in here and just touch this man, Jesus? Because remember, let me give you a little more cultural background. For a woman to loosen her hair in front of another man that wasn't her husband, those were grounds for divorce. For a woman to touch another man in public that wasn't her husband, even to touch her husband in public, they would get the stones ready. Who does she think? And then Jesus, he thinks, doesn't he know who this woman is? Doesn't he know her reputation? Isn't he this prophet? He should be condemning her. Because you see, my friends, here's the thing. In Simon's religious world, and note my words carefully, religious world, you protected your goodness, which is just another word for so-called holiness. You protected your goodness by avoiding sinful people because they are bad and you are good. And for you to remain good, whatever that meant, you had to stay away from them. And you still see that today. There are certain groups that if you walk in the street and they're coming up the sidewalk, they'll go to the other side because you will defile them and then they'll come back. And if we said, but Simon, just for a second, are you saying that you have no sin? Simon would be the one first to say, I do, but I'm a small sinner, just a little sinner. But this woman, she's in the big leagues. Now let me take you to the next part of the story. Because all of a sudden, Jesus gets involved in this. And I want you to notice, this is actually so cool. The way this starts, verse 40, we're going to read 42, 43. Verse 40 says, Jesus answered him. The Greek word here is apokrinomai. It says, Jesus apokrithes. And apokrinomai means to take up the conversation. So just think of this a moment. He's busy with all this stuff in his head. And the next thing, Jesus takes up this conversation with him that he was having in his head. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii. A denarii was about what you would get for a day's work. And the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Can you see the point that Jesus is making? Because where was Simon? Look at this woman. How can she be here? Look at who she... See the point that Jesus is making? He says, when you look at these two people, they both have debt. It doesn't matter how big the debt is or how small the debt is. They both have debt. It's the same thing. Second thing he points out is, the two of them who have debt, neither of them is able to repay the debt. Doesn't matter if it's $10,000 or $100,000. They didn't have the means to pay back the debt. Unable. So if we could just do a little application, a spiritual application there for our own lives in a second. Do you realize what Jesus is saying about us? Simon is measuring good and sinner, holy and not holy. But Jesus is saying, when we stand before God, we are all sinners and we are all in debt. There is no such thing as a small debt and a big debt. We're all in debt. And as we stand before God in this debt, we have nothing that we can do, that we can give to change that debt. See, here's the thing. Simon was thinking, doesn't Jesus know who this woman is? Doesn't he know about her? But Jesus knew exactly who this woman is. But Jesus also knew exactly who Simon is. And here's the thing. Here's the thing then, says Jesus. Then this unimaginable moment happens. This money lender forgives them both their debt. Jesus knew who she was, but Jesus knew who Simon was. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter who you are, what you do, how fancy you are, what you have, what you don't have. The debt that is forgiven is because of who Jesus is. And it's because of all of His pure grace that the debt is forgiven. This is how this woman comes. She knows she is in debt. Her life is a mess. And she has nothing. And she comes just as she is. And a miracle happens. Her whole life is changed. Watch what Jesus does. Let me take you to verse 44. Just going to do that first little piece with you. Then Jesus turned toward the woman. Now look at this. Jesus turns towards the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus turns towards her. Simon, do you see this woman? Because you see, Simon didn't see this woman. He saw her sin. He saw her mistakes. He saw her broken life. He saw her things that she had done wrong. But he didn't see this woman. But Jesus? When Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see the past. The past is the past. When Jesus looks at us like he looks at this woman, he sees a future. He sees a woman who has been forgiven. He sees a woman who is made brand new and who can become this woman that God intended her to be because she stood there with nothing and received freely the grace of forgiveness and redemption and salvation that comes from the one who gives freely. Look at how the story ends. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. Remember, I said they didn't do this. You did not give me any water for my feet, which the host chewed. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, as you should. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, as you should have. But she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Holy moly, Simon. You are so full of yourself. You are so holy that you don't even recognize how spiritually poor and bankrupt you are. But this woman, she knows it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's why she waits. Because she knows, if it's not for the miracle, I'm lost. So it ends. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Debt is paid." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who's this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith saved you. Go in peace." And for the first time in a long time, a man makes this woman feel like she's loved. And she means something. Not just someone who is dirty and who can be used. For the first time in a long time, this woman can walk out in the street and she can look them all in the eye, and the past is past, and she lives a new life because of this miracle called forgiveness. And it's there, my friend. We're all in debt. And I can't do a thing about this debt. But you know what debt does, right? It sits in my heart. It sits in my mind. And it takes my life over. But it doesn't have to. All I have to do is to do what this woman did. To have the courage to walk in there where I could be stoned. But I know Jesus is there. To go stand at his feet. Didn't even have to say a word. Just the tears. And when I come stand, and I stand before that throne of grace, there was one who took all my debt. And there on the cross, says Paul in Colossians, God nailed all of the debt that we had against the cross in Jesus Christ. And he forgot all of that debt and forgave all of that debt. And he never remembers it again. Are you in need of a miracle? Just go. He's waiting for you. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, oh, thank you. Thank you that Jesus paid it all. We can't, because we are so in debt, Lord, that we couldn't get out of it. And you forgive, not because of who we are, but because of who you are and what Jesus did for us. So in this day, we stand before you and we lift our hands in thanksgiving and in praise. All honor and all glory and all praise belongs to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. For when we were bankrupt, you forgave. So we crowned you with many crowns the Lamb upon the throne. In your name we pray. Amen.